Before I start, I'd like to read Psalm 36, verse 9, very short and sweet. For with you, talking about God our Father, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Let's pray. Thank you, God our Father, that you are the source of everything, ultimately, and everything that is good and perfect. We thank you for your light. May we see light in your light right now, at this moment together. We thank you that you are the fountain of life. We thank you that we are your people. You have called us and chosen us to be light in this world. Thank you for every one of us able to be here this morning, from the oldest and wisest to the youngest and most full of life. We thank you that we're able to share with your Holy Spirit this morning and to listen, but most of all, to be transformed into the image of Jesus. Amen. Okay, before I start, you don't know me, but I'm a very emotional person, so I get teared up about everything. So don't worry about me, that's just me. And I love to be moved by the Holy Spirit, and that doesn't mean, you know, something amazing, that's just everyday life. God in a Christian is, like we said, being a parent. It's just the everyday grind of life and of family, of, you know, the ups and downs of being together with other people. But God is so real, and that's what I want you to experience today in his word, because the word of God is all we have in this world physically. We have the Holy Spirit, we have the Lord in heaven, and we have brothers and sisters in Christ, but the physical thing that we have to rely on is the word of God. And so I had for my reading Colossians, because that's a good general description of what we're focusing on today. But my theme about the unsearchable riches of Christ comes from Ephesians, because as a fellowship you've been studying Ephesians, and this is the focus of Ephesians, the unsearchable riches of Christ, but it's also the focus of the whole Bible. It's the whole focus of everything that God ever did. It's the focus of why we're here. And so my theme today comes from Ephesians 3 verses 8 and following, and it's written by Paul, who without Paul we wouldn't have had a lot of the New Testament, but he's a picture of us as Christians. He says, though I am less than the very least of all God's people. That's a good attitude for us to have, because it's not him, not Paul, it's Jesus. This grace was given to me, says Paul, to preach to the Gentiles, that's us, most of the world, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now that word unsearchable, it doesn't mean you can't, it's not about searching on Google and finding something, which is what we all do to look for stuff these days. It means the boundless riches of Christ. They're so amazing, you can't go and find out about it and that's it, finished. It's never ending. The riches of Christ are unsearchable, they're boundless. And to bring to light for everyone, what is the fellowship of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. That's a full description of the gospel there. full description. And we could, you know, dwell on those verses for our whole lives and never come to the end of what is written in those few verses there. But, of course, I'd like us to look a bit deeper today at other things. And I'll start off in Ephesians again. Ephesians 4 says, Christ, who descended from heaven, is the one who also ascended above the heavens. He was resurrected, and now he's taken humanity into heaven to live forever in order to fill the whole universe. Now, Jesus is God, but he's ascended up to heaven to fill the whole universe. And what's he filling the universe with? Himself, his character, who he is. And of course, we, as his bride, the church, are destined to fill the whole universe with Jesus. In the end, you know, we see all the bad stuff. We have to deal with the bad stuff in this world. But in the end, there will be nothing left but Christ. Nothing left but the beauty and the glory of the boundless riches of Christ. That's the destiny of eternity. That's the destiny of all that God has made. Although at the moment it's a big hassle with stuff and evil and badness and darkness and people. Well, there'll be people in heaven, but they'll all be filled with Christ, and that'll be us, that'll be his church. But there's many more in these last days who need to be part of that body. Now, something that we hear in the preaching the gospel is no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. In other words, we need to confess that Jesus is Lord. But actually, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says in the original language, no one can say Lord Jesus except in the Holy Spirit. And what that is saying is no one can say that word Lord in the Old Testament is in all capitals in the English translation because it's a translation of Jehovah, the name of God that the Jews weren't allowed to use because it was so holy. Now, we use the word Jehovah, and we think, Jehovah, that's, you know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah, all these names for God. And we think, oh, that's, you know, that's God the Father. Well, when we confess Jesus, we confess Jehovah Jesus. Now, that's a bit hard to take because we've never been thought about that, but that's actually what the Bible says. That Jehovah that we think of as the Almighty is Jesus. And of course, we know the Father and I are one, Jesus and the Father are one anyway, so really, technically, it shouldn't be a problem. But we have this idea of separating God into, you know, God up there, Jesus comes down and reveals the Father, and sure. But really, they are so united. Jesus is Jehovah. Jehovah is Jesus. And, you know, people get mixed up and they have this Jehovah's Witness idea that, you know, Jesus is nothing, Jehovah's everything. Well, actually, Jehovah is Jesus, and everything is about Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament, everything in the New Testament, everything about eternity, God the Father's heart is in his Son. In fact, the only time God calls from heaven and describes his Son, twice he does it, when he was baptized and when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, this is my beloved Son. Everything about God is focused on Jesus. It's the love of his whole purpose. You know, he just loves on his Son, and we are destined to do the same. So, as we think about the names of God, we think about the names of Jesus. All those lovely names of Jehovah, the Provider, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. They're all descriptions of what Jesus is for us. Now, I guess we could probably think about it and say, yeah, I actually realize that's true, but we don't actually think it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. In Colossians, again, this is came up this morning in a testimony about shadows. And it says in Colossians 2, all the observances that we religiously do, you know, the things that we honor as holy and stuff like that, We honour our church buildings. We honour our worship on a Sunday. In fact, some people think it should still be Saturday. We have all these observances, things that we think are important. Well, in a way, they are important, but it's sort of like what this says. They are shadows. They are shadows of things to come, but the thing is, the things to come have already come, because they were all shadows of Jesus. All the things that before Jesus came were very important. You know, they had the feasts, and they had the holy days, and they had, of course, the Sabbath day. And of course, we need a day when we can get together, because it's pretty hard to get together every day. But it says in the New Testament, as often as we can, we should meet together. But the thing is, shadows, when you're talking about a human shadow, what does it matter, you know? A shadow is nothing. What matters is what made the shadow. And this verse says, observances are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance, or the actual word is the body, is Christ. So all those shadows are made by Jesus. But why would we worry about the shadow when we've got the body, we've got the person, Jesus? And so that helps us to let go sometimes when we get hung up about observances and things that are considered holy and sacred. Really, you can't go wrong if you worship Jesus and make him sacred and holy in your life, because then the other things are just shadows anyway. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but what I'm saying is we're missing the point. We're missing the point is Jesus, the person who made the shadows. And it's Jesus is, he is the person. He's the one we're all made in the image of. Every one of us is a person, okay? We're all individuals, but we're all exactly made in the image of Jesus. He's so, like we said before, he's so boundless and rich. Every one of us is a reflection of Jesus. The way we're made, our bodies, our lives, our characters, our whole history are all parts of the riches of Christ. He loves to express himself in each one of us, and there's no person who's more important to him. You are each precious to him beyond compare, because only you can be you. Only you can be Jesus in your body, in your person, in who you are. And so when we think about the person of Jesus, we limit him to just that person who walked the earth and did the miracles and went to the cross and died and rose again. But no, the person of Jesus is his body, his church, all of us. And we have a whole lifetime here and an eternity to express who Jesus is. And we don't, there's no, like with family, there's no handbook on it. The only handbook is the Word of God, but we have one another. That is the blessed thing about being part of the church. We have one another to share this journey with, to grow and to encourage each other, and to be focused every day on what the main thing is. It's Jesus. Now I've come to a point which I've got to sort of challenge a few of our thoughts as well. Colossians 2, verse 19, after that one about the shadows, it says, hold fast to the head, we're talking about the body of Jesus, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Right, the thing I want us to be challenged about is that word head. In our culture, and for many, many years, the word head has meant like government or boss or the person in charge. But the trouble is, the New Testament was written 2,000 years ago, and nobody ever thought of the word head as part of an allegory as authority. They always understood the head to be the source of everything in the body. It's where our ears are for hearing, our nose for smelling, our eyes for seeing, our mouth for tasting and for all the nourishment. everything we get and we receive and it comes to our body, comes through our head. And that's the idea of head when we read the New Testament. Unless they're talking about, you know, a physical head of a person. The head of anything is our source. Now, how do you prove that? Well, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians 11 that says the head of Christ is God. Well, God is not the boss of Jesus. They are totally equal. But God the Father is the source of Jesus. And so when we think about the head, we think about that's where things are coming from. Hold fast to the head, the source from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. Of course Jesus is our source. And he doesn't want you to think of him as your boss. He is your boss, but that's because he's your source. Everything that comes to you comes from Jesus. And so every time you look in the New Testament, you see the word head, think about it as the source of whatever they're talking about. And in fact, that verse in Colossians that I read as the reading for today, it says he is the head of the body of the church, the source. Of course he is. He's the source of the church. If it wasn't for him dying and raising from the dead, there wouldn't be a church. But we have somehow get this confusion that, oh, head, it's the boss, or it's the one in charge, it's the authority. Well, it's really confusing because he is our source far more than he is our boss. Far more. He doesn't want us to think of him as our boss. He wants to think of him as our supplier of everything. Everything. So, let's get back to the point of this thing, the boundless riches of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, as it is written. So the Bible's telling you that it's written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. That sounds like something that's pretty hard to fathom. What God has prepared for those who love him. God's already prepared everything. It's like the old thing of having a present given to you in wrapping paper and you just leave it there. It's prepared for you. It's even been given to you. But if you don't open it, it remains useless. But we have everything prepared for those who love him in Jesus. Boundless supply. The riches of Christ. Now I'd like to... is there a chance we can put that picture up that is behind all the hymns? That's it. Beautiful. I'd like to share a vision that one of the leaders in Youth with a Mission had a few years ago. It's been very impactful for me, and I think it should influence our lives as well. The picture was of a big reservoir, like Wellington Dam or Serpentine Dam or somewhere like that, if you've ever been to one of the big dams. And remember when the days when they were full and they'd overflow years ago? Well, the picture was there was a big dam, and right at the bottom of the dam, there was the pipe coming out with the water. And there was a little tap there for people to come along and get a drink. Nice fresh water. And people were lined up for miles with little cups. And as in one of the songs, fill my cup, Lord, you know, come and get a drink from the reservoir of God. And the picture was all these people coming along and filling their cup up and going away and rejoicing in having a lovely drink from the fountain of God. But then in the vision, he saw, apart from the multitudes of people coming and having a little cup of water, he went up to the top of the reservoir and he saw how much water there was. It was massive. It was like that. It was a sea. It was an ocean of Jesus. And there was a few people swimming in there. And they were enjoying infinity, enjoying the joy of boundless love. And the thing is, quite often, we're happy with a little cup of Jesus, a little taste, a little blessing. Oh, thank you, Lord, that was wonderful. But God's purpose is for us to drink that forever, to swim in it, to just over... As summer comes on, we'll be more and more wanting to go to a place like that. But God's heart is for us to have boundless supply and not to feel like beggars just getting a cup from him. And that vision was something that really impacted my life, and I hope it does for you too. That whenever you see a huge amount of water, just think, that's the boundless supply of Jesus for us. And he's not a long way away. We live on the shore there, or we can live in the water if we want to. Back to Colossians. Paul says, our goal is that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. What is this mystery? What's the riches? Which is Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Jesus is a person in heaven, but by his Holy Spirit, he can supply everything we need moment by moment. And sometimes we think, oh, I haven't got enough faith. Well, really, he's our faith too. He's our supply of faith. He's our supply of everything we need as human beings, because we are part of his body. And like, you know, with the head, we don't have to think, oh, I hope my food gets to my body and nurtures me. It happens. You don't have to try and make it happen. It happens. Now, where the rubber hits the road, is all the treasures of Christ, how far away are they? Colossians 1 says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the Lord's people, how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He abides in us by his Spirit. Jesus isn't miles away. Like I said, we're on the shore, but no, we're in the water because he's in us. The water's in us. That great ocean is already in us. And Jesus actually said, I just remembered, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. That's because we've got the ocean in us. We've got Jesus in us. We've got every part of him. Whether you understand it or not, you don't have to know. From the youngest of you to the oldest, you don't have to be smart and know stuff. You've got Jesus. He knows everything. Of course, you have to learn to read the Bible and study it and be blessed and nourished by it. And you also have to receive encouragement from one another and spend time with other Christians and talk about the Lord. But all the resources are in one another. That's why we can have fellowship with the other, and why we need to have fellowship with one another, because we can receive from each other all the time. Just a couple more verses. Philippians 4 says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There's no sort of, oh, only if I'm good enough, or only if I've had a good day, or only if I've been doing the right thing. There's no sort of, you have to have done this done. It says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we always get, we make a mistake or we do something wrong or something. Oh, God's left me. He can't leave us. He can never leave us or forsake us. He won't. He can't leave his body, can he? So, and it says in Colossians 2:9, in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives bodily, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Okay, as it's a progressive growing in Christ, but we already have everything. We already have his fullness. He's never half-hearted. He's never partly there. He's always all there. He's always with us, and we have to learn to receive more. That's the growing thing. That's the daily, you know, and sharing together from each other. But also when we're on our own, the Lord can speak to us. Like Izzy was saying, even in the middle of the night, it doesn't matter when or where or what. It can be kids screaming. It can be all sorts of situations. But God is our supply, and it says we have been brought to fullness. There's no little bits and pieces of God. He's everything. Talk about all or nothing. Jesus is all. And don't ever go for nothing. Go for all, because that's what we've got. Right, now just to finish off, Something else that is very practical, and I've been reminded that the Holy Spirit is, if he's anything, he's practical. He's not interested in teaching us ideas. He's interested in putting Jesus in us. He's interested in the daily grind of being a Christian in this dark and evil world, but shining like a light, because it's Jesus in us. And Jesus said, and we know this very well, take my yoke upon you. In other words, Jesus is in us. We're already yoked to him. Get that yoke moving, because he wants to move. He wants to do things. He wants to be the source and supply of everything. Learn from me, for I am. This is the only time Jesus described his character. He described his attributes, you know, his light and this, that, and the other, his truth and his that. But his character was only described by him once. And he says, I am meek and gentle. That's the old translation. Lowly in heart, or humble. But the actual root meanings of those meek and lowly in heart, Jesus is actually selfless. That's what meek means. Selfless. And we, if you think about it, well, yeah, Jesus is selfless. That's why he went to the cross and died. But selfless is far more than just dying for somebody. Selfless means our whole attitude in life is others. Our whole attitude in life is sharing and being available for people. It's all about the character of God, selflessness. That's why he made everything. He made people because he's selfless. He wants other people to be made to find out what goodness is. Goodness is selflessness. And the lowly in heart basic meaning is unknown. And of course, in the world, we know that. People want to be famous. People want to be seen. People want to be known. But God, he wants to be known, but not in that way. Jesus didn't ever want to make a name for himself. Quite often he told people, don't tell anybody. Don't make a big deal of it. And that's what the character of God is. He's not out there to force himself on everybody. He's out there to just people to find out. But he doesn't want to be, in a way, he doesn't want to be worshipped in that way for being famous. He wants to be worshipped because he's worthy, not because he's great, not because he's, you know, the boss. And so that's the character of Jesus, selfless and unknown. And that's what he wants to put in us. Selflessness, and not wanting to be great and famous and, you know, some big wig, some big busybody, some big person that everybody looks up to. And so the best Christians are the ones you don't hear about. And I've found out the ones that are really have big influence in my life are ones that nobody really heard much about them, because they were unknown. They weren't, you know, out there to make a big kingdom or whatever. But they're also selfless, because the character of Jesus is formed in them. And that's what he's forming in each one of us. Selflessness and not worrying about being known. So, to finish off, how do we put that into practice? What has God provided for us that is that supply, you know, that source? And again, it comes back to the Holy Spirit. The riches of Christ are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need every day. Every day, God supplies the fruit of the Spirit among us in our daily lives, in our daily grind every day. He said, abide in me, and out from Jesus in us will come the glorious character of God, the glorious character of Jesus, his love. And this love is selfless love. The joy of having Jesus in our lives. We've talked about that today, about the joy of fellowship, the joy of just being in the presence of Christians who are worshipping him. The peace of God in this world of turmoil and trouble and having, you know, no hope. The peace of God. These are the things that we need every day, but he supplies us bountifully. The patience of God. Oh, that's what we need every day, patience. Because we all grind each other and, you know, knock the corners. But his patience is fully available. His goodness is just beyond compare. You know, the goodness of God. It's, again, it's selfless, but it's something this world doesn't understand, the goodness of God. Kindness of God, the kindness of God. Oh, such a wonderful thing to see kindness in people's lives. But we can have that kindness expressed in our lives every day. And then the last three, faithfulness. We feel like we're so unfaithful to God, but he's faithful to us, and he's our faithfulness. And he doesn't give up. He doesn't say, oh, you know, you've done your 99 things, I'm not going to forgive the next one. No, he's faithful to us, and he will always be our supply. No matter what we're going through, no matter how bad a day we've had, no matter what, you know, dark time we're going through, he is faithful. And it's not we don't have to rely on ourselves. We have to rely on him all the time and focus on him. And then the second last fruit of the Spirit is meekness, which again is selflessness. He's our selflessness. The fruit of the Spirit is his selflessness in us. We don't have to work it up. We don't have to think, oh, gee, I'm going to try not to be selfless today. No, he's our selflessness. And the last one, which covers pretty much everything, is self-control. He's our self-control, which, you know, so easy for us to do it ourselves. But self-control is basically letting Jesus do it. So there you are. The fruit of the Spirit is the practical part of receiving all that boundless riches of Christ every day. And as I said, it's through fellowship with one another. It's through everyday life. Everything is sacred to God. No matter what your job is or what your, you know, situation in life, it's sacred to God because Jesus is in you and he's expressing Jesus in your life, wherever you are. And I'm just so thankful that you're all here to share the love of Jesus with one another, but also to receive everything you need, everything, every day. That includes health for your body. It includes vitality. It includes a fresh, new, everything new every morning. We should always realize that God is never tired and never worn out. He always has a fresh, boundless attitude to everything. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And I just pray that as you go out, that you walk in the supply of Jesus. Just remember that great big ocean that dwells inside us. So thank you, everybody. And maybe I should just do a quick prayer. Thank you, Father, that you have created us in your image, in the image of Jesus, and that you have supplied us with everything we need in him. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the joy of fellowship, of learning you with one another every day, in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, but most of all, in our fellowship with you. So thank you, and may the riches of Jesus abound in our hearts, in our lives, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks. Yeah, sure.
So, just want to give you an opportunity to unravel a few more of things that you shared. So you shared about how Jesus doesn't want us to think of him as the boss.
Yep.
So I wonder if you can open that up a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I got this thing. Yeah, well, the thing is I think we get taught that in a family, you've got to have, you know, your parents and you're the children. And so we have this idea that God's our father and so he's the boss and we've got to learn to conform, and we have, you know, the Ten Commandments. We have all the things we've got to learn about, you know, as a Christian you must do. But that isn't the whole point of what God's about. If the Ten Commandments were so important, he would have given those to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve didn't need Ten Commandments. They needed fellowship with Jesus. They walked in the garden with Jesus. And that's what we are called to do. And so when it comes to having a boss, our boss is the Holy Spirit, but he's not a boss like this world is. He is a supplier of Jesus, and he is the one who God has given us, so we don't need bosses. In fact, the Old Testament, they said, oh, we want a king. But God said, you don't need a king. I'm your king. The same with us. We don't need a boss. Jesus is our boss, but he's not there to be the boss. He's there to be the source of everything that's good for everything we need. Okay. Does that make more sense?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Good.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
So I just want us to land with some clarity.
Yep.
Jesus is not a boss like the way that we've known a boss, okay? But make no mistake, he is the blessed and only potentate.
Oh, yeah.
He is the ruler of the universe.
Yes.
And he rules his kingdom with a scepter of righteousness, and his enemies Amen. He will break with a rod of iron.
Yes.
So he is absolutely Lord, which means supreme,
yes.
governing, ruling factor.
Yep.
And one of the issues in the church is we want him as Savior, but we don't want him as Lord.
Mm.
We don't want him to be truly Lord over our life. But we find that it's very different to the way that we've seen it modeled in the world.
Mm.
And we find that he is the supplier. He is the source. And I receive that word about Jesus being the source. I receive that word. I want to throw another thing into the mix for headship, though. And that is that not only does the head hear and consume and is the source, it's also the command center. It's also where instruction goes out to the body from. So I don't want us to throw that out because I think that's super, super important.
Yeah.
But I receive loud and clear the word about the supply of Jesus, the riches of Christ.
Yes.
And thank you, Paul, for your ministry here. Yeah, appreciate it.
Oh, there's always two sides, but we need to focus on one sometimes.
And I absolutely hear that was your focus. Yes. Yeah, I just wanted you, that's why I wanted you to just clarify the boss statement.
Great,
yeah. Thank you for that. Good.
Thanks, Cal.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, Cal. We're going to close now with the song, or the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And then we will finish with the benediction now under him. And then you're all welcome to stay and join us for morning tea and then lunch. So please stand and we'll worship God.